Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And boy, are we going to be discussing mind power at a different level. Maybe you've heard about some of the latest research, maybe not. Well, we're going to be sort of informing you today about some of the latest changes, a little bit about history, how actually we might be just rediscovering what ancients knew a long time ago. My guest today is Marie Jones, and we're going to be talking about the resonance key. It's exploring the links between vibration, consciousness, and the zero-point grid. Marie, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yes, I'm so delighted to have you back. Boy, you must be at that typewriter all the time, because it just seems like yesterday that I had you as a guest.
I know, and it just doesn't end. I'm in the middle of a new book, and I keep promising myself that I'm going to take a break, and it just never works out that way.
How is it that that happens so much in life? I seem to do
I don't
the
know,
same
but it's
thing.
Making me really mad. I'm on a vacation.
Yeah. What I think you need to do is do a hitchhike to the universe somewhere. They don't have spaceships going out into Never Never Land yet, but I'm sure you could find a handy-dandy place that you could evacuate to for
exactly.
a little bit of time and just have a break. And
but see, the problem is, after a couple of days, I end up wanting to work again.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. Work is a good thing. I don't mind
it
work
is.
At all. It's
when,
a good thing. But
right,
once
I mean,
while
you like
just
what you're doing.
To, mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you just need to have that total break. Now, yeah. I do need to let my audience know that Larry Flaxman, who is the president of ARPAST, the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team, and he's also the co-founder of Para Explorers. He has been working with you. He worked with you on 1111, the time prompt phenomenon, and he's worked with you on this one.
Right.
And, Marie, you have been involved with Larry for a good deal of time. You've been on a number of shows other than mine. Why was it important to go in to a subject matter of this type? And the resonance key, how did you come up with that?
When I wrote a book called Science, and it was about quantum physics and new science and the paranormal, and it made all kinds of comparisons and links between the three. And so many people responded that there were certain topics that they really wished I could have expanded on, and one of them was resonance. So I always felt like I needed to do a follow-up to Science and focus on the idea that because everything vibrates, mm-hmm. that the natural resonant frequency of an object, it's a very important thing that we're not looking at, the fact that nothing is solid, and how that might apply not just to our physical reality, but to the unseen as well. And I had hooked up with Larry a while ago. We decided to partner together because he has... he's a real intellectual, brilliant guy, and he's got ARPAST, which is an organizational research group, and I have a lot of ideas and concepts, and put the two together, we make a really good partnership. So, you know, it was only natural that after we did 1111, we thought about tackling resonance, and it was something we were starting to hear more and more about, but just on the, you know, little whispers of it. Nobody was really talking about it enough, and we feel like it's really important.
Now, the person that wrote the foreword to your book is Brad Steiger, and we
yes.
all know about the Twilight Zone and various things that he's been involved with, but I was unaware that he had written 170 books. He's authored as well as co-authored 170 books on paranormal and metaphysical
yes.
subjects. And he made a couple of comments, and I'm going to quote right from your foreword. Vibration is resonance, a synced frequency in the coming together of attracting forces to allow or to manifest that which did not exist before, and that we each broadcast energy that will determine its own consequences. We thus become the generators of our own destiny. Now, there, and then there's three words, reality is mind.
Right.
All of those components together bring a real reinforcement, in my mind's view, of consciously staying present with things as much as you are able to do.
Right, exactly.
And personal responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Comes
the big
in there.
One.
The big PR, personal
right.
responsibility. And I think that there's aspects of the book that deal with this, and I really would like for you to address. Now, you just mentioned something about frequency, that there's nothing really solid.
Right. Everything vibrates.
Everything is vibratory. You
right.
also bring up sound.
Exactly.
And you say it's a mystery. Why is sound a mystery?
When it comes to resonance, sound is one of the most important types of resonance, and it really is very critical to the manifestation of reality, but we don't focus ever on sound. Sound is still kind of mysterious to us. We focus on light. You know, what we see is so much more important than what we hear and what we don't hear. And yet resonance is all about vibrational frequency. And there are different frequencies of sound that actually affect us on a physiological level, including the infrasound range, which we spend a lot of time talking about in the book, because there's been research done using infrasound that has actually manifested paranormal phenomena, apparitions,
mm-hmm.
the sense of the presence of someone else being in the room, those types of things. So it suggests that sound is just as important, if not more important, than the visual part of our reality.
You talk also about Tesla.
Right.
Now, Nikola Tesla was absolutely a genius.
Yeah.
That's the only way I know how to say it. I can't add any more to it. But he had such an in-depth understanding about vibratory frequencies. And before he died, he had built an earthquake machine.
Right.
And, you know, you think, who in the world is going to want to build an earthquake machine, for heaven's sake?
Well,
because
Tesla did.
He did, but he was not happy that he did.
No. And he did some experiments in his home lab, I guess you could say, that ended up affecting not only his building, but buildings down the street from him. And he got a visit from the New York City Police Department. And basically what he was doing was experimenting with resonance. Tesla was probably the father of resonance studies. Certainly he didn't discover it.
Mm-hmm.
Galileo was working with it, and it went far beyond Tesla, but he really took it to the next level. And he doesn't get enough credit for any of the things that he did as far as Larry and I are concerned, but he did. He understood the fact that because everything has a resonant frequency or a natural frequency of vibration that's determined by the physical parameters of the object itself, that you could do all kinds of things. You could, you know, make a building shake down the street if you found just the right resonant frequency
mm-hmm.
of the pipe running under that entire street. And he really kind of took it to the next level. So we do talk a lot about Tesla and some of the things that he left behind and some of the research that he is alleged to have taken part in, including a death ray weapon that does deal with resonance in a more dark manner, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's nothing new either, because there's always two sides to a coin. And you can take something, electricity, look at what it does for us, but on the other hand, it can kill you.
Exactly.
So it all depends on how it's managed, how it's handled, and utilized that
right,
makes
right.
it good or bad. Acoustic resonance, you just mentioned it, that it can influence the body's organs and cells and the
right,
functioning
right.
of the brain. Now, that I know definitely for a fact. There are so many things that can create illness, and this is something that in some research and studies in the psychic area, there were government experiments with this from
right.
in different countries, where they tested it on people and actually wanted to see. People didn't know that they were the guinea pigs and they were being used, and they did get ill, and there are
exactly.
all kinds of things that happened to them. And this is something that can be a very negative side.
Oh,
on
absolutely.
The other hand, it is something that the ancients knew about with tones and sounds. That's where the drumming comes in.
Exactly.
That's where
chanting and
of these different things. It's a frequency that you build up.
Right.
And it makes a difference. I loved your description about nature having her own boom boxes. You talk about the singing sand dunes in the Atlantic Sahara in Morocco.
Right.
But that's not the only place in the world that does this. It creates its own tonalities. And
right,
you can actually
exactly.
hear it. It's not just machines that are recording this. You can hear it.
Right, and we now know that even, deep space has a hum that's been recorded. What's really interesting is we have a chapter in the book devoted to the more negative aspects of resonance, acoustic weapons, ways that the military use resonant frequencies, especially infrasound or very high decibel noise, to control crowds.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have a chapter about vibrational frequency used in medicine and healing. And vibrational healing is really exploding in popularity because more and more people are realizing, because we're vibratory creatures, when we get out of vibrational sync, we become ill, like you were saying. So all we really have to do is find a way to get back into our natural vibe, so to speak, and healing will occur. And we can do that with music, with light, with sound, with even meditation and things like that. So this is a real forward-thinking area of vibrational healing that we're going to be hearing more and more about, I think, in the mainstream.
I agree. And I think because I have been looking at for so many years, the fact that we are getting to a point where we're going to be treating people individually.
Right.
And we're not going to say, like so much is being said today, gee, everybody is going to get the swine flu or whatever it is that they come up with. Well, everybody's going to have the same stuff. No,
exactly.
It's toxic for one person. It can cause side effects in another person. They just don't have enough information, and they're guessing.
Right.
And so you have this. So this is something that is going to be developed along with some other very practical things, with herbs and other things that are going to be able to develop that harmonic in the body. I know that for a fact. It's just,
right.
It's there. It's evolving. So you're absolutely correct. And I liked what you said in your book that DNA has a harmonic fabric and our bodies may have techniques for recognizing their own electromagnetic patterns
right.
through the resonance of tone. You know, when you think of vibratory frequencies, you'll have people maybe that go, let's say, into the middle of Arkansas and just absolutely love it, say, oh, this just resonates with me.
Exactly.
Someone else will go in and say, you have got to be out of
right.
your mind.
Just, yeah,
I'm on my way to California. So it's amazing. We all, if we're listening, will know if we're in cue, if
right.
you will,
right.
with ourselves.
And not just places, but people that you meet, situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're getting into a situation where your stomach just clenches up and you really feel out of sync with whatever's happening, that obviously is not resonating with you and you need to move away from it. You know, the same with a person that you meet, you might immediately, like with Larry and I, we immediately resonated. But other people you meet, you feel like, oh, I'm just repelled, energetically repelled by this person. And certainly, as you said, different locations. Some people hate New York City because it's loud and noisy and busy, and it's the city that never sleeps.
Right.
Other people get there, and they just feel alive, like every cell in their body is humming and vibrating.
Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. Now, let's talk about the use of frequency, sound frequency, in moving things. This has been discussed at length.
Yes.
Major scientific arenas that said, oh, it's a bunch of hooey. They're not so sure today. And there is a person, I'm sure just about everyone that's listening to the show has heard about him, Edward Leedskannon. I may not know his name, but if
right.
you've ever heard of the Coral Gardens in Florida, he had one garden that he had built. This man has a love story and everything that's
right.
around him. So he built this coral garden for the love of his life, and of course that didn't work out too well. But he went and actually moved this coral garden to a new location, had the truck delivered, wouldn't let anybody watch him move, and somebody, the truck driver, as I remember it, happened to get up earlier than normal, went out to see what was going on, and he saw things being levitated into the trunk. We're talking about things that weigh tons.
Exactly.
And we look at a lot of the old ruins, and we go, how did they do this? They
the
didn't
pyramids,
have
slaves. Exactly.
That's right. So let's go into that a little bit, because this is something that you do address.
Right. You know, it is a theory that fell out of favor for a while, until we've been having some scientific breakthroughs with sonic levitation,
mm-hmm.
with small objects. In fact, you can go on YouTube and type in sonic levitation, and you'll get some video of experiments done with very small objects. I think they did it with a frog, where they actually used sound waves to levitate a frog. And the thing is that if it's possible on that level, in a very small laboratory setting, perhaps the ancient Egyptians found a way to do this on a much larger scale to move the pyramids. Perhaps this gentleman, whose name you pronounce it so well, Leedskanen,
mm-hmm.
found a way to use resonance, to use frequency, to move what I understand the obelisk itself was 28 tons that he moved. And he actually wrote some booklets about magnetic currents, levitation secrets. So he obviously was involved in this kind of research.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do this with his own hands, and he didn't have a bunch of migrant workers there to help him. This
right.
is a mystery that continues, and now we're getting from the scientific angle that, oh, well, sonic levitation, this really is possible.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're actually going to see this demonstrated. We have seen certain areas of magnetic theory that have actually come to the forefront, but it's really tough, and this is nothing new in human history, to break the paradigms of thinking.
Exactly.
So that you open your mind to these realities. Now, again, you have to understand that there are natural laws to go along with all of this, but the kahunas of Hawaii knew about this.
Right.
And
right.
the aboriginals of the world knew about this.
Absolutely.
So it seems like we're having to work pretty hard just to do catch-up.
Well, not only that, we keep denying, you know, there's such resistance and denial. The thing is, it might be one of two things. Either our natural laws are not complete, or there are things out there that go against our natural laws, and we're going to have to revisit them for, you know, these different things that we have yet to prove scientifically. But we can't continue to deny that these things are happening. What's really funny is after I wrote Science, about a year later, an article came out about two physicists at Cornell University in Ithaca who moved a photon particle, who put it in two places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this great breakthrough, and they said, you know, the next thing we're going to do is try to bump it into the future and blah, blah, blah. Well, whoever would have thought 10 years prior that you could have put a particle in two places at the same time?
Well,
and
goodness
yet,
gracious.
Somebody did it.
Yeah, but the yogis had been putting themselves in more than
exactly.
one place at a time for a long, long time. Now, one of the things that when I say that, I'm not being sarcastic either, because there were extreme disciplines
oh,
that
absolutely.
Were worked with, because you had to know how to work with the energy, and your body had to have the harmonic so that you wouldn't go into what I'd call a shock level
right.
where there'd be a trauma to the nervous system. So that's why always it was said you have to work with a teacher. And I know
oh,
personally,
yes, I would never try that on my own.
I know personally a former student of mine who was far better read than I was at the time, and I just was amazed when she called me one day, and she had been in a mental institution. She had been put there, and this is one of the most intelligent people I've ever
wow.
known. And what she did, she went in, she decided, because she didn't know of a teacher that was a guru, if you will, whatever term you're comfortable with, she decided she was going to do an enlightenment procedure that was going for 30 days.
Okay.
And it meant that she had to fast. It meant that she was to use certain tones. She did a certain kind of chanting.
Right, right.
And so you're dealing with a resonance factor.
Right.
And what happened,
vibration.
She
mm-hmm.
was supposed to have an illumination on the 16th day. She was illumined all right. She flipped out. Her nervous system couldn't
wow.
handle it. And
you know,
she,
it's just really sad.
And she was never quite right after that.
We're not used to this kind of thing. We're not used to raising our vibrational frequency and raising our consciousness. We're stuck in a rut the way that we're living. And I can see that. I can see how someone who dares to go outside of that comfort zone might not be able to handle it mentally or physically, and it does take incredible discipline and maybe slow, you know, learning over a period of years to kind of get the body and the mind able to handle the next level.
Correct. The body has to have the harmonic. It's a total package. It's not separate.
Right, and it's not something that people can say, I'm going to do this, you know, this weekend, I'm going to raise my vibrational frequency and be in two places at once. No, you're not. Unless you are from another planet. That is an ability that we may have because we are vibratory, we're not solid, but it's going to take a lot longer than a weekend for us to figure out how to do that.
There's two things, and this is on your chapter, Forbidden Frequencies, the Shadowy Side of Resonance. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's important to mention these things because, not from a positioning of fear, I do not want any of you listening to go, oh, my God, this is terrible. Oh, the world is going to be destroyed. I don't want you to go there.
Right.
I want you to understand the reason we're discussing this is to inform.
Exactly.
You know, I was doing some research this morning with one of my future guests that's going to be coming up on superstitions and myths and how historically people were tortured and put to death and kinds of horrific things because those that were making the decisions about what was good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
One, were wanting power, and two, they decided they were going to use anybody as that they wanted for a scapegoat to keep people from seeing what was really going on with them and what they were doing. And today's world isn't any different.
No. The tactics might be a little different, but
it's the same kind of logic.
Exactly.
Now, you bring up a site in Alaska that's 200 miles east of Anchorage, and it was a secret government facility built by the Pentagon for a research program, and I'll say it, HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. It cost more than $30 million to construct. But the Pentagon, the Navy, and Air Force, all sponsors, are using it for the development of very sophisticated surveillance and communications technology. Then you also had some information about long-range acoustic device.
LRAD, yes.
That really was not a surprise to me, but it was fascinating to see all the information that you had gotten because they want to use this for crowd control.
Exactly, for mob control, to control hysteria. With HAARP, there's still so much controversy over whether it's still going and what the intention is, but LRAD is one of many programs or devices that we do have being used in the military. And the idea behind LRAD is to beam high-frequency sounds between 120 and 140 decibels, which is very loud, possibly even louder. And these can really debilitate the enemy or debilitate a crowd if you have sort of a hysteria or a panic, you know, maybe looting after something like Hurricane Katrina this might be used for. So, you know, yeah, there is the fear that it's going to be used against peaceful people in peacetime, but with everything, there is a dark and a light side. There's a defensive use and an offensive use, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
And yes, obviously, if acoustics and sonics and infrasound can affect us physiologically, you know that the government and the military are going to be looking at ways that they can use that for their benefit. That's just the way things are.
That's the way it goes. Now, one of the components, and this is in the Good Vibrations chapter, I want to know more about this sonic facelift. This
I
loved. I thought, gee whiz, every man and woman on this planet are going to say, I'm in line, you know, because right now, facial surgery, you know, you have all kinds of different techniques now that are not as drastic and severe as people used to go through. But to tone and tighten skin, this is a sound therapy.
Exactly.
And they used it on a racehorse they rarely found, and it healed a torn flexor tendon, and everything else they had tried, it failed. I know that sound therapy works. Tell us about this. How did you learn about this?
This was actually almost like an afterthought. When we were finishing up the book, I came across this article about CRF, which is using radio waves to I don't want to say cosmetic purposes, but like a facelift. I guess you can say cosmetic, but it can also be reconstructive purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, again, is to beam radio waves into the skin, and it rearranges the cellular level and the collagen, et cetera, et cetera. So it's sort of like getting Restylane or Botox without being injected by some type of potential poison.
And hello, that's pretty cool.
Exactly, and it doesn't involve any cutting. It just goes into the dermis, the deep layer of the skin, and I believe it heats the collagen, and then that tightens and smooths it. So, yeah, I mean, if you could choose a non-invasive technique like that, why would you ever inject yourself or, you know, have somebody mm-hmm. cut you up? And it just shows how the use of sound, the use of light, I mean, we use light to get over seasonal depression, and
yes,
obviously resonance is healing. So just as we've got the forbidden frequencies that the military is putting to use, there are just so many ways that vibrational frequency can be used to make us well and healthy and happy and whole.
You bring out some fascinating research by a neurologist, Oliver Sacks, and he talked especially an article of O Magazine about the healing power of singing.
Yes,
and how
yes.
with people that have Parkinson's, people that couldn't speak, couldn't move, are able to dance and sing, it's amazing. And there we go with the resonance.
Right. Who doesn't feel better when they're mm-hmm. singing? I love to sing, no matter how bad I feel. If I sing a happy song, it's like, you know, smiling at yourself in the mirror. Once you turn those muscles up, it's almost hard not to just keep smiling. But singing has neurological effects. It makes us feel good. If you're singing the right song, it's like, well, you found the harmony that raises
mm-hmm.
your mood. And absolutely. And I think, you know, ancient civilizations knew this with their drumming and their chanting and their use of rhythm and music.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can sign me up for the CRF. I'm ready for that right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping they really get that out there in the market.
I'm ready. I want it for the whole body, though,
yeah,
not just the face. I want everything.
You know, they're probably in the testing stage, and I'm thinking, well, if you do any clinical trials here in San Diego.
You'll volunteer.
I will volunteer.
Well, I know that we're just about out of time, Marie, and it just goes by so quickly when we're talking, but you've got a section on paraconsciousness. You have so many different points, walking the grid, all kinds of interesting information. So for those of you listening, the resonance key is absolutely fascinating. There are so many different levels, and they address the negative as well as the positive. So it's good. Anytime you can educate yourself and be aware, you're going to be ahead. Now, what's the website associated with this, Marie?
People can go to our website, my joint website with Larry Flaxman, which is www.paraexplorers, that's P-A-R-A, explorers, all one word, .com. And they can go to my own website, which is mariedjones.com. And they're all interlinked together. So you go to one, you'll get the other.
All right. So let me repeat that. That's paraexplorers, and that's plural.
Right.
Explorers.com or Marie D. Jones. And there's no dots or dashes in there. It's just mariedjones.com. Well, Marie, it sounds as if you're going to be busy at that computer.
Yes.
Again, because
oh, yes.
of another project, so you'll have to keep me updated with the
Absolutely.
next big thing that
I
you're going to do.
I certainly will, because I think you'll be interested. It's on deja vu and mind anomalies.
Uh-huh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, it's been a delight. Again, the book
Thank
we've
you.
Been talking about today is The Resonance Key. And this is important because of the information that they have researched and that they share with you. And if you've not considered vibratory frequencies and how they do affect you, stop and think about how you were in a movie theater when sometimes they had the sound so loud you couldn't even talk to the person next to you.
Exactly.
Or you're in a restaurant where the sound is so loud that you want to just kill somebody.
Or a rock concert.
Oh, please, we won't go into the rock concert. But anyway, go to her website, paraexplorers.com or Marie D. MariaGinsman.com. Maria Ginsman, wonderful having you as a guest. We're taking a break. We're going to come back right after this.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna, and welcome. The telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I'd be delighted to do that. Now, all you need to do when you call in, and here's the toll-free, worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial. And then I also like to know where you are calling from. And then after that, sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive. And then you are welcome to ask me a question when I'm finished about anything that you like. Now, I want to take this opportunity. Again, the phone number is 888-815-9756. I want to take this opportunity to thank the staff at the Boeing Parapsychology Employees Expo. They did a wonderful job. It's just a great group of people, and we had a fabulous time there. Met a number of you, and I just so enjoyed the interaction. So I'm just very grateful that I had that opportunity, and I wanted to let you know that these are just a terrific group of people. Also, I want to thank the group called Zonta, Z-O-N-T-A International. They had invited me to be a speaker, and I was. And it was a phenomenal evening. So many times we do not know about people, organizations, associations that have been established by individuals that had a very, very significant reason for wanting to start it. And this group I thought I would share with you, especially you ladies out there, if you're wondering about maybe becoming involved with a group that really deals with the empowerment of women. This was a group that was established in 1919 in Buffalo, New York, they decided they wanted a new service club, and they wanted women who were leaders in their businesses and professions because, now this, remember, this is 1919 when it started. They wanted to standardize and disseminate business principles and practices and to provide service to humanity through cooperative efforts. So the club was started in 1919. There are now groups all over the world, and it is a group that is just absolutely amazing because they support women's education. They have an Amelia Earhart Fellowship Award for graduate study in aerospace-related sciences and engineering, and they established that in 1938. And also, they have international service projects. They've been doing that for over 20 years. They work with the United Nations. And in 1986 through 1996, Zonta as an organization contributed $2 million to the United Nations Development Fund for women because they wanted women to be trained regarding health, marketing, income-generating skills. They're doing this for all over the world. And each club throughout the country is dedicated to promoting the status of women to reflect a unified ethic, integrity, and standard. They like to work with the United Nations, and they believe in supporting their local communities. So I would like to, I really appreciated becoming aware of this group, and if you might be interested in finding out about this organization, then go to zonta.org. That's Z like zebra, O N like Nelly, T like Tom A, .org. And again, I want to thank them for having me as a speaker. I really enjoyed them. It's such a wonderful experience to be able to do what I do, to find myself in the company of people, men and women both, from all walks of life, from different parts of the world, different experiences, and to be able many times to bring them to the airwaves so that you can be aware. We do not live in a bubble. There are billions of people on this planet, and most of them are hardworking souls. Many, many times in life, people do not realize what options are available to them. And that's why I think the Internet brings a potential opportunity. And because of this broadcast, there's an opportunity for anyone, anywhere in the world, to become aware of different types of thinking, for different options to work with. And when you can be aware of that, that is so empowering. I can remember times in my life when I was living through certain experiences and I thought, this is all that there is. Now, someone in talking with me today would say, Donna, how is that possible? You're so intelligent. Look at what you do. I don't meet many people like you. You can talk about anything and everything. You have to understand, this didn't happen overnight. And many parts of my life experience were not particularly pleasant because it was as if the universe said, hey, toots, if you're not willing, if you can't see, then I'm going to have to force something on you so that you will see. And that's where typically the pain and suffering and gnashing of teeth comes in and our feeling of hurt and all kinds of stuff that goes on. But life has a way through discomfort by forcing us to look at things differently. It enables us to wake up, number one, and grow up, number two. When you do that and you realize then that there are options, you find that your curiosity kicks in, and then you want to be a part of life. You don't want to be like a snail in its shell and just curl up and say, oh, you know, I can't handle this. Handle it. Get out there. Don't be afraid to explore something new. Don't be afraid to try something new. How many times have you met someone that said, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested? Why aren't you interested? Why aren't you curious? Most of the time, people get stuck in their own paradigms. They'll blame everybody and everything else around them without recognizing that it's their responsibility to pick up their mental feet and maybe their physical feet and get moving, because nobody can do it for you. So when, again, I come across an organization or I have an interaction with people, no matter where they're from, and I'm aware of what they are trying to communicate, just like my guest Marie and her associate who have put together this information on the resonance key. Now, you may not agree with some of the things that you read. You might think, oh, this is sci-fi. Well, keep in mind, Jules Verne was considered out of the loop, but when he wrote his science fiction, look at how much has come about. Sometimes people have the imagination to see far beyond their time. Why? I don't know. They just do. They get in touch with their own resonance factor, and then they write about it. You have the same kind of capability, but it may be expressing within you in a different way, in a different manner. Be interested enough in yourself to invest in yourself. Read. Listen to different kinds of programs. Don't be afraid to put yourself into different environments. Go to your public library. Go into subject matters you may not even have ever had any experience with. And start to be aware that there is a lot in this life that, one, we don't know. And two, you have so much in the way of adventures, exploration, personal development. Your life is going to be so interesting if you open your mind. Now, I'm not asking you to be a garbage can for anything and everything. You have a right to discriminate. But you also need to be aware that cultures have their own understandings. Societies, social orders, caste systems. You need to be aware of these things. It makes your world a lot easier to work with. Doesn't make problems disappear, but it teaches you things about problem solving, that most importantly, to be aware of the fact that you do have options. You do have choices. And when you believe otherwise, you create a prison of your own making. So don't be afraid to read. Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid of yourself. Be who you are. Enjoy learning about yourself, your likes and your dislikes. Thank heavens we're all different in our own way. It's marvelous. It gives us something to talk about. Who wants to be like anybody else? No way. Be yourself and have fun discovering new things about yourself, because every day that you're alive, you're going to find out something new that makes life interesting. I heard something on the television because I'm putting together a mailing, and so I had this television show on, and there's a man that's 113 years of age. 113 years of age. And he is living his life with gusto to the best of his capabilities. More and more of us are going to be living to that age and longer. What are you looking forward to? Look forward to life. Be good to yourself. Take care of yourself. And again, don't be afraid to investigate new things. One of the things that I feel is so important is that you never give your mind over to anybody else. Don't ever do that. Ever. Your mind, you belong to you, not to anybody else. As soon as you let some other person do your thinking for you, you then, again, create a prison of your own making. And if that's something that you choose to do, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. You've been given a mind. You've been given the capacity to think. To learn how to reason, that's a process. To be able to work in different ways, that is a process. We all have learning curves. You never get there. You're always going to be in the process of that. Life is for the living, not for the existing. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I'll be delighted to chat with you. I'd like to share with you when we come back about Rose Espinoza. This is a lovely, lovely woman with a special story. We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't forget to give me a call, 888-815-9756. If you want me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. A little bit of trivia for you. These are just some little points of information that I thought I would share, and it's about food. There is in Belgium, the Belgian city of Bruges has opened a museum dedicated to French fries. Yes, you thought you'd heard of every museum in the world. Well, this one's on French fries. Now, Eddie Van Bell has decided that he wanted to chronicle the history of their nation's favorite food from its conception in the 1700s. So he has what he calls fry art, and it's a display of French fries in cartoons and an exhibition of kitchen fryers. And for those of you that are Coca-Cola lovers, ah, yes, and I've known a few in my lifetime, there's a Croatian man who has drunk nothing but Coca-Cola for more than 40 years. And his name is Pero, and he is from Karanak, and he's in his 70s, and he drinks up to five glasses of Coke a day. He started in 1968 because he promised his mother he would never drink alcohol. So he turned to Coke. And he said he'll be happy to drink Coca-Cola until the day he dies. Just a little point there of trivia that I thought was really something. Also, a potato grown on the Isle of Man off of the western coast of England weighed 7 pounds, 13 ounces, which is the weight of an average newborn baby. Can you imagine picking up a 7-pound potato? My goodness, what would you do with that 7 pounds of potato? Oh, well, they don't tell us that. They just say it was a big one. That's something that when the fairs come out, like at the Puyallup Fair, and I didn't have a chance to find out what their pumpkin winner was for this year, but it has always amazed me when I go to the Puyallup Fair because it's either the third or fourth largest fair in the United States. And they have these pumpkins. They have to bring them in with forklifts after, you know, they unload them off a truck. I mean, these things weigh over 1,000 pounds each, and it's just, you wonder what they feed those pumpkins to get that size. I know in Alaska everything gets supersized because of the 3 months of growing, but to see these pumpkins and to see the weight numbers, it's mind-boggling. Sure would make a lot of pumpkin pies, and boy, we're heading into that time of the year. In fact, here in the Pacific Northwest, our sunshine days, they've disappeared. Yes, we've got brisk winds, and we've got storm warnings because the first storm of fall, big storm of fall, is heading our way. So everybody's sort of buckling down right now because we know it's going to be hitting us. I said I wanted to share a story about Rose Espinosa. This is a woman that I think deserves mention because She decided she was going to make a difference in her neighborhood. Many times you'll hear me say on the show, one person makes a difference. The power of one starts a movement, just like the club I mentioned, Zonta. So here is this woman. She and her family moved into La Habra, California. And one of the first things they noticed were the gangs. Young men carrying baseball bats, golf clubs, the house they bought. There's a vacant lot next door. That's where they're meeting. One night, she hears a gunshot, and there's these horrific screeching wheels as they're burning rubber and drive away. She found it was a drive-by shooting. She decided, this is ridiculous. We're not going to live like this. So she decided she was going to organize a neighborhood watch program. On her husband's truck one day, they find spray painted, keep your mouth shut. Little intimidating, wouldn't you say? Didn't hold her back. She said, this is not going to be the way we're going to live. So she found out who the ringleaders were. She went up to them and she said, I want you, face to face, she did this. She said, get used to my face, I'm here to stay. You may be going to hell, but you're not taking this neighborhood or its kids in your handbasket. Took a lot of guts. Now, this is a woman, well-educated. She was a medical instruments designer. She was also going to school for a business degree at night, and she had a son, Christopher. He was 8. And she started off doing something very simple. She just started talking to parents in the neighborhood about their children's activities. Well, they didn't do very much. They were so terrified about what was going on in the neighborhood. A lot of them didn't speak English very well. So she got an idea. She said, why don't we help kids with their homework and make it fun? She said, let's let our kids know how much we support them. So what she did, because this idea of hers, she was the leader, she was the instigator, she put her own education on hold. And every weekday she would get home from work, would grab beat-up desks, chairs, you know, wherever she could salvage them. There was a school that had been condemned in her local area. And she carried them across the street to a park, and she met the school children that were in elementary school and volunteers that were going to work with her. They go across the street to the park. And the kids nicknamed this gathering the Little School. All of the kids were tutored. And on average, the kids increased their writing abilities by over two grade levels and their math by almost 3 grade levels within 1 school year. She also, with the other parents, took them on field trips, exposed them to operas, various opportunities that were free. She found anything and everything she could to expose these children to different environments. Well, the word got out. Parents were excited. They started donating supplies because she had been paying for everything herself. They donated money. When the weather got cold, they moved into the neighborhood's garages. People that had garages where they had space for the kids, they'd open them up, and eventually they would be in her house. And there was a reporter that found out about this and named the group that she had accumulated Rosie's Garage. Well, it stuck. Now, the gangs didn't really go away. But when they found out what was happening with the siblings, they started getting curious and they wanted to see what was going on. And she said, today, there are no more drive-by shootings, there's no graffiti, and no gangs in the old neighborhood. And a number of those children have grown up and they're college graduates. And she said, today, Rosie, she's now almost 60. She is full-time in the program, and she said they have ended up moving into a gang house. That's right, previously occupied by a local gang. She's helped over 1,000 children in 18 years, and she keeps on going. She's like the Energizer Bunny, the power of one. It makes a big difference. you, in your own way, can do the same thing. We're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about so many shoes, so little money. Believe it or not, we're going to be talking finance. I hope you'll join us. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back with you same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.